I will desire your prayers this evening. Have a little thought that trust the Lord will be a blessing to you. I've written on the board, wait before you run. Did I spell it right? Wait before you run. I'd like to start this evening in 2 Samuel. And we'll start in the 18th chapter and the 19th verse. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this, but this account is when Absalom had been slain, David's son. And if you remember, Absalom had an army, and he was actually coming against his own father, the king. And these armies came against each other, and Absalom was slain, and now we're going to pick up just soon after his life had been taken. And we'll start in the 19th verse because that gets to the burden of my message tonight. And it says, "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day shalt thou bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushi, Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And it's actually Cusi. "And Cusi bowed himself under Joab and ran." But now listen what happens next. "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cusi. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cusi." And so he overran him, and now they're approaching where King David is. And in the 28th verse, Ahimaaz got there first before Cusi got there. Cusi's still running. Cusi's got the message, but Ahimaaz beat him there. And so now he's showing up. The watchman saw him. They saw the runner coming. They knew there must be some words of tidings to the king. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And then they had to wait for Cusi, who had the message, to then show up and bear tidings to the king. And I feel like tonight this is a striking account that gives me pause, because it speaks to a human trait that is common to both the vocal and to the quiet. And that is to take action when they should have waited. And this message could span a lot of different subjects. And maybe we'll come back to it another time to maybe catch some of them. But this evening, I want to encourage us to wait before you run. When you feel like you must run, when you feel like I have got to go with this message, I have got to go with this way of life, there is a sense of urgency. You know, sometimes we feel a great sense of urgency on things. But Ahimaaz would have done himself well if he would have paused and waited and considered this was not his message to deliver, and waited before he just took off and ran. He ran with a message that was not his to deliver, nor did he have adequate understanding of the message that he supposedly was running with, because he got to the king and the king asked him, and he said, well, I saw a lot of stuff going on, but I really am not sure what it was all about. And then the king had to tell him, okay, why don't you step aside here? Just stand still, stand over here to the side. Well, some believe that Ahimaaz didn't actually know that Absalom had died. When you read the scriptures, it sounds like the way that the discussion went that he did know. There's some commentators that aren't sure that he even knew that he knew that they had won, but didn't really know Absalom had died. I'm not sure. Others believed and thought that Ahimaaz just didn't want to be the bearer of bad news. He was close to the king, but either way, his running was in error. Joab told him, Joab said, don't run. Joab told him, this is not your message to deliver. He was told not to run, but he ran anyway. Even though he was told that, and even though he knew that, he ran anyway. And then the king had to tell him to stand aside. And I feel like tonight, this is maybe kind of a teaching lesson. We'll open up for some comments and help this evening. But there's a lot of practical application in this. Why do you think he wanted to run so bad? What goes through your mind? He ran. He was told not to. He asked again. He said, no, you don't run. Then he asked again. And finally, Joab said, fine. Run. Why do you think he wanted to run so bad? Demonstrate his running ability? I mean, runners, that was a big thing back then. They didn't have cars. I mean, they had horses. But that didn't always work either. And your running ability was viewed back in those days in pretty high esteem. Do you think he just, I don't know that there's a right answer to this, but it got my mind to thinking. So there's not a wrong or right answer. Why do you think he wanted to run?
Maybe to receive some type of recognition.
Maybe he wanted to be the one that showed up before the king. Maybe we should write some of these on the board. Why are people... We don't know why Ahimaaz ran. We don't know why he wanted to so bad. Like you say, maybe he wanted recognition. He wanted to be the first to tell. Maybe there was a noble reason. I mean, Ahimaaz was close to the king. He knew King David, and maybe he loved him, and he wanted to be there for him. I don't know, but I know this. He was told not to run, and he ran anyway. And he would have been better if he would have waited. But let's think about that. Why is it that people, why is it that we as human beings can be so quick to run? And we've mentioned some of them. So, quick to run. All right. Recognition. First to tell.
Probably can't read this writing up here. What else? Why are people... And they're not all bad. It's not always bad. Sometimes it's good to run quick. So why is... What other things cause us to want to be quick to run, to deliver a message, to deliver something? What else?
I'm going to say it could have been an incomplete understanding of the message. So he sounded like he was focused on the winning and not on what the actual message to the king was, which is your son didn't make it. But he was, I would say, misunderstood the message. Oh, this is a good message. I would like to be the one to tell it.
Yeah.
So, you know, go ahead and let me run. I can be.
Sounds to me like he was hard-headed and thought more of himself than he ought to think. He was told not to run, but he thought he knew better than he just took off anyway. Impulsive, know-it-all, I don't know.
Thought too highly of himself and his...
That's a red flag when he wouldn't listen to instructions.
You're right. That was a red flag right there. Not just once, twice. It got like into the third time. So far, sometimes people want to be they want to run quick. They want to be recognized. They want to be the first to tell. Sometimes we misunderstand. Sometimes we think we understand, and we're quick to run because we got a misconception of what's really going on. Okay? Sometimes we think too highly of who we are in delivering the message when we should stay back. What else? I thought of this one. Sometimes there's an emergency, right? If you're a parent, sometimes... I've seen moms move pretty quick. I have some examples of that. Okay. Well,
when is the right time to run? I mean, Ahimaaz, it wasn't his place to take off and run. So we've established that. But when is it? When should we know that we should go and take a message? And I wanted to share some guidelines that have been taught and that have done me well. Not always, but when I think about it, it does. If you're gonna say something to somebody, first thing is it true? If you feel like you've really got a message to deliver, is what you're getting ready to deliver true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Do you know that not everything that's true needs to be said? There's a lot of things that are true out there, but just because it's true, it's not necessary that you have to say it. You know, if you don't like the shirt that I'm wearing that I came to service in, it might be an ugly shirt. And everybody might think that, and it's true. This doesn't look very good. But it might not be necessary just to tell me. It might be necessary for my wife to tell me. But it might not be necessary for everybody else to feel the need to tell me something that's not good about me. Somebody might not be very good at something. Then maybe they've struggled with it. And I don't know why sometimes people feel the need to just go ahead and point it out to him again. It's true, but it's not necessary to tell, to say. There's no real good reason, outcome. It's make the person maybe feel bad. And so if we feel this great urge that we need to go deliver a message. First ask yourself, is this message even true? You know, there's a lot of stuff that's written out there today that's written as if it's truth, but it hasn't been established as truth. And then people get hurt because of things that are said, and they haven't even been established as truth, even though they're presented as truth. And then sometimes, when I was growing up, we were in our family worship, we were taught it this way, that when you go and tell somebody something about somebody, it's kind of like going out to the windy coastline in Oregon and cutting open a pillow full of feathers, and all the feathers just go. And then all of a sudden you realize that was a mistake. I want to gather all that back in because I just realized that wasn't true, what I just said. Or the person found out some more information. Misunderstood message. I thought I knew what it was, but I just figured out I was wrong. How well are you going to be able to go out and gather all those feathers back up and put it back in the pillow? Because it's human nature, unfortunately. People talk. They say things. Word moves. It goes. And so we need to be good stewards. We're reading in Sunday school about stewardship. We want to be good stewards about what messages we run with. Because it can be really easy to run with something that you just feel like you got to run. You got to tell somebody. It might not even be true. And by the time you find out that it's not true, you're unable to reel it back in without having the consequences that result from having that out there. So, is it true? Before you go run with the message, ask yourself, is it true? And if it is true, then move to the second step. Is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to communicate whatever it is I'm getting ready to communicate? And a lot of times the answer is no. Yes? What is the purpose? That's right. What is the purpose of me being the one that goes and delivers this message? What is my motive? What do I believe the outcome will be if I deliver this message and I run and I get there and I'm able to be the first to tell and I get the message delivered? What's going to result from that message? Why do I think I need to deliver that message? And is it necessary? And if it is true, and we look at it, we say, it is a necessary message to deliver. This message needs to be delivered. And it is true, and it is necessary. Well, can we deliver it in a kind way? People say, well, it's the truth. Somebody needed to tell them. Somebody needed to line them out. Somebody needed to help them understand, you know, kind of where they stack up here. And I'm just the person to do it. I tell it just like it is, and that's the way I am, and I'm gonna tell them. Cause it's true, and it's necessary.
In the military, we're taught, establish a need to know.
There you go. Establish a need to know.
There was a need. For the king to know.
And there was. But, in this case, if it is necessary, can you do it in a kind way? Can you deliver the message in a way that is helpful, that's conducive to whatever the situation is, that isn't, back to your point, Sister Connie, about why are you delivering the message? Can you deliver the truth since it's necessary to be delivered? And can you do it in a way that when you get all done, you've been able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness, kindness, meekness, love. Are we able to deliver the messages
in this way. And if all of these are true, I went through life focusing on these three things. But I've decided that there's a fourth. After considering this lesson, are you the designated messenger? It might be true, it might be necessary, maybe you can say it in a kind way, but it isn't your message to deliver. And that's what this lesson was tonight. There was a message that needed to be delivered. There was a true message that needed to be delivered. And it was necessary. And if you're going to go before the king, that's a whole other lesson in itself. Know who your audience is. Make sure you understand what you're getting ready to step into when you deliver the message. And in this case, it needed to be kind. However, even if all three of those were checked off, Ahimaaz was not the designated messenger. And we're not always the designated messenger. We're not the ones that needed to deliver a message. You know, if I just happened to go by the hospital somewhere and somebody just gave birth to their first child, and I find out about it before everybody else, well, you know, that young, happy couple's parents probably need to know at some point that they now have a grandchild. And I might decide, well, it's true, they really do have a grandchild that's here now, and it is necessary that they find out, and I can say it in a kind way, but it isn't any of my business to then take it upon myself and decide that just because I happen to go by that I'm going to go and get into somebody else's area and communicate some news that is really somebody else's to communicate. And we're all human, aren't we? And there's something within us as human beings, all of us, to greater and lesser extent, that we can feel a sense of urgency to go deliver a message where it would have been better if we would have waited just a little bit and go through a little bit of an exercise to discover, am I the right person to deliver this message, and can I do it in the right way? And it may be true, it may be necessary, and you may be the designated messenger. It may be a message you need to deliver. But you realize, I can't do it in a very kind manner right now. So you need to wait as best as you can. And I know, you know, I'm speaking in kind of broad terms. There's always extenuating circumstances, and I'm not trying to capture everything. These are general, just good instructions to base our behavior on. If we are the designated messenger and we need to deliver a message, ask God to help you do it in a way that's uplifting and is kind. May God help us. We had just a little bit of time left. I want to go to another point. How about this? What prompts us to live a certain way that we live? Do you know that we take on behaviors, attributes, things in our lives, and we pick them up and we make decisions, I'm going to run with this in life. I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to adopt this and run with it. And what is it? What process do we go through before sometimes we can be so quick to take things on in our lives and go with them? I think that question deserves some consideration too. Does everybody know how a 4x100 relay works? A 4x100 meter relay is a race, and people line up, and there's
four people on each team. And each person starts, one person has a baton that's about 12 inches long, give or take a little bit. And everybody each person holds the baton, and the man says go, and they take off. And they run 100 meters, if it's going to be a 4x100. They run 100 meters, and they pass the baton to the next runner. And then he runs 100 meters, passes it to the next. The third person runs to the fourth, and one time around the track is 400 meters. So they're going one time around the track. Each person does 100 meters. Pass it to the last person, and they make it for the finish line to see who can cross the finish line first. But you know what? It's not so much how fast the runners get across the finish line. It's how fast the baton gets across the finish line. Because if they drop the baton, but still cross the finish line first, and the baton's laying back there somewhere on the track, they lose the race. What matters is that they have the baton in their hand, and they get around the track first with the baton. We as people can run with much energy and fanfare. We can be running just like Ahimaaz did. We can overtake the next person. We can appear to really have it together. We have got a message to deliver. But if we get to the end of the way and what we're running with is not grounded in truth, we've lost the baton somewhere along the way, then we often run to our detriment. And too often people have zeal without knowledge. And maybe all of us have been there at some point in our lives. We can run with a whole lot of zeal about something, but we don't have inadequate knowledge. Again, we somehow misunderstood, or we put value on something that didn't have value, but we thought that it did. And so we take off and we run with it. A lot of zeal, but not a whole lot of knowledge. And if we do that, that can get ourselves in trouble. It can get other people in trouble. I remember when I was in school and I heard a bunch of commotion. I was up on the fourth floor. It's where I lived. And I had a friend with me, and we looked down. There was this whole crowd of people going down the street. And so my buddy, he opened the window and he hollered down from four stories up. He said, "Hey," he said, "what are you all doing down there? What are you marching about?" And I will never forget, this kid down there was amongst all of this mass of people. And he looked up to the fourth story up there and he hollered back up at us. He said, "I don't know." He said, "I'm just following the rest of the people." And I never forgot that this person got caught up with the emotion, with the zeal, with the energy that this crowd had, and he really wasn't grounded in why he was following this crowd. But he wanted to follow the crowd. It seemed like the right thing to do, because there's a lot of people going that way. And they looked and they looked like they had purpose. But well, back in that day, in the early 90s, there were people that were protesting and marching and getting themselves into a good bit of trouble for some of the things that they were doing. And you don't want to get caught up, folks. We don't want to get caught up and take on things in our life and go run with it before we have adequate knowledge of what it is we're running with. It can get us and other people in trouble. Well-meaning people can get caught up with it in this, and it can affect us even in our church circles, religion, people that can have, if I could say it this way, a furious zeal almost about things of religious nature. And it can start to seem to us that must be right. because they're doing it in the name of the Lord, and they have a zeal like I've never seen before, and people start following, and we're not really grounded in the truth of it, but we allow ourselves to get caught up with the zeal of those that are running with less than adequate knowledge, less than adequate truth. And then we can find ourselves in a place where we're running with a lot of energy and a lot of fanfare and influencing other people, but we don't have the baton. We dropped the baton, or it was never handed off to us. The Pharisees got so caught up with themselves and their religion and the practices that had been instituted over time that were intended to help them fulfill part of the written law. You know, and then they started having their own written law to help them follow the written law of God. But then over time they began worshiping their own law so strongly that they lost sight of what God's law was altogether. And then people got caught up following the law of the Pharisees or the Jews' leaders that put together what maybe at first was intended to be helpful, to follow the law of God, but they lost sight. They dropped the baton. And then for long periods of time, people then would look to the law that the Pharisees would put out and fall in line with it and be deceived, or have hard burdens put on them that was never intended in the first place. And the Lord spoke to that subject some. Wait on the Lord tonight. That's the message. Wait on the Lord before you run. When you feel like you have a message to deliver, when you feel all of a sudden inspired to adopt some particular thing into your life, and you look out there and the thing that's kind of driving you back to what your motive is, what is your driver, what's causing you to do that, and it's all the energy of maybe others that are going this particular direction, wait on the Lord. Wait before you run. Waiting doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. When you wait on the Lord, sometimes we have such a sense of urgency, we feel like something has to be done. I gotta run. Somebody's got to say something. I gotta pick this up right away. But waiting on the Lord doesn't mean doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord means continue doing what has already been demonstrated as right by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by His Word. By the Word of God and confirmed by His Holy Spirit. Continue doing that. That is a safe place to be. And instead of getting so caught up sometimes with the noise of the thunder and the fire and the wind, may God help us to listen for that still small voice. And we can take comfort in knowing that still small voice, when it is from God, will be consistent with the Word of God and can be confirmed by the Word of God. Well, that's probably enough this evening. We've run out of time. When I run, I want to run with messages of truth that God intends for me to run with and live by. Let's be encouraged to wait and to pause before we run. Pray for me. I want to adopt this truth into my life and let the Lord lead me. Amen.